Fearless Voyager Radio. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers, psychic phenomena and the unexplained, UFOs, extraterrestrial encounters, government cover-ups, alternative health care, new technologies. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, the Timeless Voyager, and I'm very happy to have with me today Pam Ousley. Pam has been on the show before. She is an author, a phenomenal speaker, and a psychic, and her subject basically is auras. Is that correct? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bruce.
All right, Pam, first of all, you have a new book.
Yes.
Let's talk right away. Let's hit it.
Great. It's called Life Colors.
Life Colors.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What are life colors?
I can see the aura. It's glowing bands of color that radiate off of a person's body. My understanding of what that is technically from speaking with scientists is that it's an electromagnetic energy field that radiates off of all living matter. A person's body, basically the life colors are the colors that I see closest to a person's body.
Everything gives off some type of electromagnetic
energy vibration.
All right, that's similar to electromagnetics.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Is that a good word? I'm not sure because I don't know if there's color to it, although there probably is. But you are able to perceive whatever this is as color.
Well, my understanding is that all energy is a vibration, and that sometimes we hear vibration, we can hear it, and we can see it. Vibration is also color. So I see it as color. Other people that I've met hear it. They hear sounds coming off of a person's body. I see it as an aura color.
Now, is this a type of clairvoyance, in that voyance means to see, or is this something different?
Oh, hey, like clairvoyance sounds fine to me.
I'm not sure.
If we're categorizing it, clairvoyance is fine with me.
What you've done is you've actually categorized then these colors that you see coming off the individual.
Right.
All right. Now, you studied this along with actually being able to perceive it.
Right.
How long ago did you begin that?
I started 1983.
All right. So you've been doing this for a while.
Right.
Aren't there enough books about auras out?
Actually, there are not that many books out on the aura, and they seem to be different, the books out. They don't talk about what the different colors mean always. I have noticed that a lot of us see different colors, just like I'm sure we taste food differently.
So you say us, meaning people who actually perceive auras.
Right.
See them differently.
See the colors differently. What's interesting about each of the colors is what they mean, what the interpretation is of them. So a lot of the books that are out there describe the aura, the energy field, that when people are sick, it seems to be reduced, or when someone's going to die, it seems to be faded. But they don't go into the characteristics of what the personality types are of each of the different colors.
All right, so now you see the colors. You've been studying this for a long time. You've written a book about it.
I work with 14 different life colors. And the life colors, again, are the colors closest to the person's body. Everyone has approximately 12 feet of bands out from them, different colors.
12 feet?
12 feet.
Mm-hmm. That means if you walk into a room, you're covering the room.
Well, 6
are
feet on all sides.
Are my colors intermingling with yours right now?
Yes, they are. 6 feet on
like
all
that?
Sides. Well, we won't discuss that on the air. No. But the life color is the color closest to the person's body that seems to be consistent. It's my understanding that life colors don't usually change, although I have seen a few of my clients that have changed their life colors. It's the outer bands in a person's aura that changes all the time according to what's going on with them at the time.
All right, so I just want to stop you. Now, what we've got here then is there's these outer bands that extend out for about 12 feet. These close colors, how close are they? Let's say 4 or 5 inches maybe? Or
well, it depends. Some people, like yours right now, your yellow is about 6 inches from your body. The violet is about 12 inches outside of the yellow. Hmm. It goes about 12 inches. But I've also seen you where your yellow's been out further and your violet's been smaller. So they fluctuate. They glow according to what's going on with you at the time. If you're doing more of your yellow personality traits,
here we go.
It'll be different than your violet.
Let's talk about these colors then. What I guess now what we've got here then is a 14 different types of personalities. Is this what we're talking about?
Different aura types. All well, right. and then there's combination colors okay. too. So they're basic 14 basic aura personalities.
All right, let's hit some of these. And let's find. Matter of fact, let's see if we can hit them all in the show because I think people would really like to know that if they could. A little bit.
Sure,
you should have seen her eyes. So, folks, if you could have seen her eyes open up, she went, what? I'm going to do all 14? Let's try it, okay?
I can spend an hour and a half on each color, so.
Let's spend 5 minutes on a color.
Okay. Well,
or less.
First of all, what I do is I categorize each of the life colors into three different families. There are the physical colors, and those are the personalities that relate to their environment by touch.
Okay,
they
so
relate
the
to
physical,
reality.
Right, physical colors.
Physical colors. Then there are the mental colors.
Right.
They relate to reality through their mental analyzing data and information.
Okay.
Then there are the emotional colors, and of course, they process life through their intuition and their emotions. That's their predominant characteristics.
Right. So that's a good way to categorize in families, because I think a lot of us know that we process differently. Some of us process emotionally, some mentally, and some physically.
Right.
All right. Which one do you want? Which family do you like to start with?
In the I usually start with the physical family. In the physical family, there are red, orange, magenta, and yellow. I don't see that many reds, oranges, and magentas on the planet at this time because those three colors seem to deal more with physical survival. They deal with tangible reality, and that's it.
Was that from another time, let's say?
There seems to have been more reds and oranges in particular on the planet a long time ago when we had to worry about food and survival and fighting and taking care of ourselves. We seem to be heading more into the mental and the emotional colors on the planet.
All right. So,
with the exception of yellows, there are a lot of yellows on the planet right now, and there seem to be more and more showing up every day.
So yellow is a physical.
Yellow is also a physical family, right. But they seem to have, yellows came here to bring joy to the planet. They're here to lighten up the planet. They're the little kids on the planet. So it's my understanding that the reason there's so many of them showing up is we need to lighten up on the planet. We need more humor. We need lightness on the planet.
So they're the fun ones.
They're the fun ones,
are these
absolutely.
The party guys?
These are the party guys.
The party people.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I think we all know a few yellows, I guess, in our lifetime here.
Right. So just basically, reds, Madonna is a red. That'll give you a real good idea right off the bat. Reds are more into sexuality, sensuality. It's about lust. It's about the body sensations. It's physical, tangible reality is what's important mm-hmm. to them. A table's a table's a table. That's it. I don't want to discuss it, philosophize about it, talk about energy. Red's not into that. They like moving physical objects around. It's more about power, strength, stamina, courage. Things like that. They don't like being a part of a society that says that sex, for example, is taboo because they're very into believing that we are animals and we should enjoy being in a physical animalistic body on the planet in this lifetime. Then oranges, Evel Knievel is an orange. Oranges are the daredevils on the planet. They also deal with physical reality, but it needs to be, they tend to want to put their lives on the line to feel alive. They like thrills and excitement.
So these are the tightrope walkers.
Yeah, and stuntmen and race car drivers and skydivers. It's about excitement in this lifetime. They like working with their physical environment also, but it's about cunning and outwitting it. They're very intelligent, very sharp. They tend to be loners, though, because they go into areas that most of us won't go near.
So they don't have necessarily a quote-unquote death wish. What they're trying to do is outwit death. Is that correct?
They like to outwit their opponent.
Yeah.
It's about...
And death is the biggest opponent, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's exactly. It's how far can they go past their physical limits. Limitations like scaling Mount Everest. You know, no one's ever done it before. I want to prove that I'm physically capable of doing that. That's an orange's attitude.
So the bungee people, the ones on the bungee cord.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, yellows will do things like that too, but yellows don't like physical pain. They don't want to get hurt. When they're younger,
so
they're
if
wilder.
Guaranteed, if it's guaranteed that you're not going to get hurt, you'll try it, right, for the thrill.
Right. Well, yellows like fun and excitement, but again, they don't like physical pain. But when they're younger, they're more rambunctious.
Because they don't know.
Yeah, they'll ride motorcycles
they
and be crazy,
yet.
Right. Right. As they get older, they tend to be more cautious. Then the third category in the physical family are the magentas. Again, I don't see too many magentas on the planet anymore either. Andy Warhol was a magenta. They're very outrageous, bizarre. They like to go to the beat of a different drummer. They like to push society's moral standards beyond the outer limits. It's like
pushing society's buttons.
Yeah, exactly. They don't like doing things traditional or just because that's the way the rules are. That's the way they're supposed to. They're very bizarre and eccentric. They like to eat dinner at any time they feel like it, or have pink flamingos in their house if they feel like it. I believe that it's magentas that have created the purple mohawks, for example, just to shock society. They tend to live more in cities, in larger cities, San Francisco, New York, because they can hide out more in society.
Yeah, it would be really hard in a small town in the Midwest if we're a magenta.
Yeah, but they thrill being outrageous. Mm. That's their whole thing. See if we can push buttons here.
All right. So does that take care of our physical family?
Then there are the yellows, which I didn't tell you a whole lot about. But again, those are the kids. They're physical. They like to have fun. They've got a great sense of humor. Yellows don't like to work that hard. They came here to play.
And you already told everybody I was a yellow. Just what everybody wanted to know, right? Here I am trying to do something. Well,
you've got
a
violet.
Hard, you know.
You've got violet in your aura too. They work.
We'll talk about that. All right, so that takes care of basically our physical family.
Right.
All right, what's next?
In the mental family, there are four different tan categories where I see tan around them, but they've also got ellipses or another color that goes with it. There are the logical tans, and that's just a pale tan color that goes all the way around the body. There is the sensitive tan, which is a light color tan, and it's included with that. There's a powder blue color that goes all the way around it, too. They've got a subtle different personality than a logical tan. There are the environmental tans, and that's a deeper color tan along with a forest color green that goes around with it. And then there are the abstract tans, and that is a tan color. Mm-hmm. That's a light color tan with a crimson red that goes around with it. Now that's different than the red life color. This is a tan and a red. And then there are greens. Those are the mental colors that I see. And basically all the tans are very logical, analytical. They do all the details, the steps. They like to process step one, two, three,
four. So very methodical in their approach to everything.
Mm-hmm. Very security conscious.
Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean just they're...
No, we need the detail-oriented people on the planet. They're the ones that can figure out computer pieces and build appliances. Mm-hmm. The rest of us don't have the tolerance to deal with details. We want to do the bigger picture, just get on with it, leaders.
So should these be the people that make these manuals that we buy in order to build things? You wouldn't want a yellow to make that manual, right?
No.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to... That's right. I think most of them have been made by yellows lately. Four different tans. How... do you categorize a difference
with
among
the tans?
Those four?
Well, sensitive tans, for example, are also very methodical and logical, but with the blue, they're more sensitive. They've got a calmer emotionalism to them, but they're more intuitive. They're the listeners on the planet. They're the caretakers. When I get to the blues, you'll see it's kind of a bridge between the mental family and the blue emotional family. They put them together, and then they're calmer. They're the nurturers on the planet. They make very great therapists and librarians. They take care of people in a very quiet, subtle way, but again, they've got more of an emotional side to them than a straight logical tan. Logical tans tend to live in their heads. They don't want to talk about their emotions. They don't see any relevance to emotional concepts. It's out of control for them. So then the environmental tan is again a tan, logical, sequential, but they tend to deal with they're the bridge between the physical family and the mental family, in that they analyze everything, but they also tend to deal with their environment more. They like to research and analyze the environment. They like to, they're archaeologists. They're people that... What's interesting about an environmental tan is they can stand at one end of the room and tell you exactly how far it is to the other end of the room, or hold something in their hand and tell you exactly how much it weighs. So they seem to be able to deal with spatial concepts more. Mm. And then the abstract tan, these are, again, more rare. I don't see as many of them around, but they're... they deal with the details, but they're very abstract. It's like they don't do it in order. All the other tans are 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 10. Abstract tans will do piece 1, and then 5, and then 3, and then 10 in random order. They can't seem to put it together in linear fashion, sequential. It's like they can see all the pieces of a puzzle out on the table, but they don't have a clue which way to start or why there's got to be some pattern or some definition of what which piece you put next.
So this tan is not as together as the other three.
No, but this tan still deals with all the details. They're very detail-oriented, but very random order. And what's funny is they always seem to be late. They can't seem to keep their schedules together. They overbook themselves. They miss appointments. When they're out of power, they're incredibly scattered. But again, they prefer to deal with the details.
We're moving from tans then to green.
Green, right.
All right.
Now, greens are also mental. They analyze things, but they move very quickly. 1, 2, 10. They don't want to do the details in between. They like to organize things. They're the list makers on the planet. They usually run offices, get into business. They're very good at real estate, bankers. They like money. They like power. They like accomplishing things. They're the workaholics on the planet. They're very good. They don't usually like working for other people, but they are good employees because if you give them something, they'll get it done. They're perfectionists. They're hard workers. They like to be in control.
Are they rich?
The wealthiest people on this planet, when they're in power, and by in power, I mean they're living their full potential, the wealthiest people on this planet are greens and violets. Greens like money. They like accomplishing things.
Is this why money is green? Well, of course, money's only green in this country, I guess.
But I wouldn't be surprised that that's why money's green in this country. We have a lot of greens in this country.
A lot of green.
Mm-hmm. A lot of entrepreneurs, business people, very quick. They get bored with tans, for example. They don't want to listen to all the details. They're concept, idea-oriented
people.
So
a green would hire a tan, is that
correct? Exactly right. Exactly
I love
right.
It. I love it.
And become impatient with the tan at the same time.
Hopefully the tan appreciates the green.
Right. Well, they can...
Because the tan would need a green in order to earn a living.
Yeah. If these people can stay in power, everyone can work really well together, but it's about understanding each other, why we're different and
what the purpose
is.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about being in and out of power. Okay, that's the...
Mental family.
Mental family. Okay, now the next family is emotional.
Emotional family, right. In that family, we have blue, violet, indigo, crystal, and lavender. The colors I see the most commonly right now and the ones that come to me usually as clients are blues and violets. Blues are the mothers on the planet. They come from the heart. Blues are the most emotional people on the planet. Their priorities are relationships. They want to be in loving, bonded, monogamous, committed relationships more than anything in the world, and their spirituality. Those are the two most important things to blues. Blues are the helpers. They came here to be in service to, they're the rescuers on the planet. They usually get into fields like teaching, counseling, and nursing. So those are the blues in power. They're wonderful. You can trust them. They're loving. Out of power, they get into victimhood, martyrdom, and self-pity.
<It's> like, well, that moves right through there. Okay.
Then there are the violets. Violets are the visionaries on the planet. They come from the third eye chakra. They're inner visionaries. They see pictures in their mind's eye. They don't process all the steps and the details. They process 1 to 50. Of course, they never know how they're going to get to 50, but they see 50. They're leaders. They're charismatic. They're dynamic. And this is a violet age. Anyone that's a violet is in their power time right now. Violets actually came to the planet to help save the planet. Violets have an idea of what has to happen for this planet to survive. And there are a lot of violets in power right now and coming out of the woodwork. The Kennedys, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Gorbachev, those are all violets. Spielberg and George Lucas have violet in their aura.
Oh, here comes the big question. So, and George Bush?
George Bush is a green.
Okay, folks, now we understand. So why are we having all this problem with our economy?
Well, I guess my understanding is we need to do some upset with the economy to clean it up so we can go into the violet energy.
All right, so that's the anything else on the violets?
Well, and of course, you being a violet want to know everything you can about a violet, right? Well, in power, they're charismatic, dynamic leaders. Out of power, they get very scattered, disorganized. Or out of power, also, they get arrogant because they're so dynamic. They like being the center of attention. So, yeah, there's a lot of things about violets, but we can talk more about that about the book.
All right.
But then there's indigos, and we're moving into the indigo age about the years 2000 to 2014, it's my understanding.
Indigo.
Indigo are the New Age children. They're just now starting to show up on the planet. Michael Jackson is an indigo. They seem to be very spiritual, very artistic. They seem
and rather
so
androgynous.
Yeah, exactly. That's an indigo. They seem so far out spiritually, and they're also androgynous. You can't tell if they're male, female, gay, straight. It's almost as if the yin-yang within them has already been taken care of inside. So it's not like it's about relationships and sexuality with them. It's about spirituality and oneness on the planet. It's my understanding that during the Indigo Age is when we're going to experience peace and harmony on the planet. Because indigos, that's what they know how to do.
And how far is that from now?
According to my information, it begins somewhere between the years 2000 and 2014. And the violets are the ones that are leading
us. It's
only
14 years long?
No, it begins.
I'm sorry.
It starts shifting. It starts shifting into that age.
And what does it start to say about the violets?
Violets are leading us into the indigo age. They're the ones that know what has to happen for this planet to transform.
Now, of course, that doesn't mean a person has to be an indigo in order to enjoy the indigo age.
Oh, absolutely not. At the indigo age, all of us are in our power. And we'll be able to be self-actualized and know who we are and what we want to do here and experience our creativity and our oneness.
Well, that's something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got indigo, violet,
blue, and then we have crystal and lavender.
Crystal and lavender. Yeah, Which one shall we do first?
Crystals and lavenders are fairly rare on the planet. Right. Crystals actually have a clear aura, and they tend to be the auric chameleons on the planet. Now, in power...
Now, so when you see a crystal, you see there's something missing for 6 to 12 inches roughly, and then comes the outer colors?
It's clear, but what crystals tend to do is take on the aura color of the people that they're hanging out with. So I can see a crystal, and at one point their aura looks a little yellow, there's a little blue in it, depending on who they're being with. So it changes
so
all the time.
They're highly influenced by the people they're around.
Absolutely, and they're very fragile and sensitive souls. If they're around too many people, they get scattered and go nuts. I mean, they have to spend a lot of time in quiet meditation, a lot of alone time. They're excellent healers because what they usually, when they're in power, they act as a clear conduit for universal energy to flow through their bodies and to heal the people that they're working with. But they have to go out and clean their aura after they're through working with one person because otherwise it gets cluttered up and they get scattered.
Are you implying that we all need to clean our aura?
Oh, I wasn't implying that, but yeah, it's always healthy to keep in power, but it's imperative for crystals because they're so sensitive. They're fragile little beings. It's almost like
Is there a procedure we should know about for those crystals out there?
They need a lot of meditation, a lot of alone time, a lot of quiet. Their environment needs to be very peaceful and tranquil. They can't be around loud noises and loud people all the time. Then there are the lavenders. Lewis Carroll was a lavender.
That's an example of the stories he wrote.
Yeah, exactly. They're very fantasy oriented. Half the time they're not in their bodies. Matter of fact, usually they're in other dimensions or other fantasy worlds. They're very creative.
These are the people that should be wearing signs that say out to lunch.
Well, actually, and I know some lavenders, they're wonderful. They're very creative, but you can talk with them for a while, and after a while you look in their eyes and it doesn't feel like anyone's home. It's like, excuse me, come back to your body.
The lights are on, but nobody's home.
They're not grounded most of the time. They love talking about fairies and energies and elves and spirits and divas. Not that other people don't, but lavenders tend to live in that world. Mm. They literally leave their bodies most of the time and go into other dimensions. And what they're supposed to do when they're in power is bring that information back to us to spark our creativity.
In other words,
creativity.
They're supposed to go there and then come back and tell us, not live there.
Exactly. But most of them are so fragile and love being so ungrounded that we don't usually get their information. They don't have a clue how to deal with money. They seem to have problems in relationships just because they're not here most of the time. Now, I have yet to see a straight lavender, although I know they exist.
Now,
usually
the word
they're
straight does
up.
Not mean that they're gay.
A pure lavender. That means that they're just lavender and that's it. Right. Usually I see another color with them. Most frequently I see violets and lavenders. So there is some aspect of them that's more grounded that can actually do something with all that creativity.
And there is one more.
Well, I forgot to mention the red overlays.
Aha,
that's very important because it is in the book.
Red
people put on red in their auras after they've gotten here. Now, not the red life color. That's different. A red overlay is something that they've put on for protection once they got to the planet. And what happens with these people is the red's a very dense vibration. It's a very dense color, so not many things can get through it. But what happens to these people is they become very angry, hostile, and self-destructive. People usually put on a red overlay for one of three reasons. Either they had a life-threatening situation at a young age, they thought they were going to die, so they put it on for protection, or they were physically, mentally, or emotionally abandoned or rejected. So I see this a lot in clients that were adopted, didn't get a handle on it, or that one of the parents left and they took it personally, or they were physically, mentally, or emotionally abused. Again, it turns into a lot of anger.
Sounds like everybody must fit into one of these categories here.
No, it was deep enough. It was so traumatic enough that they felt that life wasn't safe, and so that they had to put it on. Now, these people usually need to do some form of therapy to go back and figure out what's going on. The most obvious trademark of someone with a red overlay is incredible anger. Angry outbursts that they have no understanding of or why. And a lot of their life is sabotaged. Either their money consistently doesn't work for them, or relationships, or their health, or all three of them. So that's a different category, and I see it a lot. But those people definitely need special help so they can get the red off of there, because otherwise they won't be able to live who they really are.
All right, now, when you say a red overlay, what you're saying is then the appearance would be that they look like they're a red, when in reality, if the red is, you can see that it's an overlay then.
Actually, what I see is, for example, if you had it in your aura, I would see the yellow, I would see the violet, but I would see a strong band of red on the outside of that went usually from your shoulder over your head to your shoulder. Now, some people have, it's in the outer bands.
From your shoulder, the left shoulder.
From one shoulder over your head to the other shoulder. Some people have actually put it all the way around their body, but I can still see the life colors underneath. That red. It's in the outer bands.
All right, so the book, Life Colors, this is where we were a moment ago. Pam, we've talked about the colors, the aura colors that you perceive. We've talked about three categories, three families that they belong to. Let's move away from that for a moment. Why do we need to know about auras? I can't see an aura. I don't know if I want to. I don't know what the purpose would be.
For you knowing about your aura color.
Well, first of all, what would be the purpose of me seeing it? I don't have to see it. Okay, let's say I can't see it, but you've written a book about this. Why would I want to know about these auras?
Well, first of all, the aura colors, understanding your own aura colors helps you understand why you process a certain way. It helps you see what you can do about it, how you can stay in power, how you relate to other people. All kinds of things about yourself, and it helps you understand other people more clearly. It helps you give yourself permission to be who you really are. It helps you give other people permission to be who they really are, and it just helps us get along better.
So this is kind of like a little map, in a way. It's like road signs.
Right.
You know, if I want to go from point A to point B, I have different ways to get there. If there are some road signs to help me, that helps me.
Right, and in the book, I give people information about how they can process their lives better, how they can stay in power, how they can utilize their talents better and their skills. Anytime you can understand yourself better, it helps you with your life.
All right, so that's going to help us, knowing about the auras. Now, you have in your book a test. Now, this makes a lot of sense because otherwise, since I can't see auras, I don't know what the purpose of reading the book would be. But you've got quite a lengthy test. Why don't we talk just a little bit about the test so the people that are listening could understand that this does seem very good. This seems very accurate.
Right. There are two different ways to figure out for yourself what your aura colors are. And again, I don't give the aura colors to limit people or to tell them they have to be a certain way. It's just to help give some advice on how you can live your life better. The test is one way. You take the test and you answer the questions, and it'll very clearly help you identify what your aura colors are, because the highest score that you come up with is your aura color. And a lot of people have two, a combination color. So your two highest scores will show you what your combinations are, your color.
How about an example of a couple test questions?
Okay, for example, I tend to overdo at least one of the following on a regular basis: either drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, coffee, caffeine, or chocolate or sweets, or overeating.
anyone out there not do any of these?
Overdo them. Right, yellows overdo are them. The ones that overdo those. Mm-hmm. They're very addictive personalities. Let me see another.
Well,
I tend to cry easily.
I'll tell you what. Let's stay with that question for a minute. Can we examine each color just with that one?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, let's. Do we have to do yellow again?
Which
let's
color?
Let's start with the family. Well, we'll start right with the physical family.
Okay.
All right, so we had the question. Why don't you say the question once more, or the statement, and then a person says yes or no. Is that
right?
What it is?
It's a yes or no, or sometimes. And if you answer yes to a lot of, there's an entire category, like aura color one. If you answer yes in almost every single one of those, that category, good chance you're that aura color. If you answer sometimes or no, there's a good chance you're not that aura. Matter of fact, you're not that aura color.
I see.
So it's not just, it doesn't just rely on one question. There's about 12 questions per category.
How many questions total would you say there are? Or statements? That
About 12 per category. And then there's 14 categories. So whatever 12 times 14 is the total number of questions.
Does a person then answer all 14 categories and then look for the highest two scores?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
Yeah. It's real obvious in the test. You start going down the list and you go, like, one, I relish risk taking. I love to do adventurous things where I put my life on the line. It's like, no, thank you. I would definitely answer no to that. I don't know about you.
Now, people who have read your book and have taken this test, I mean, have you looked at them and said, they tell you what color they are and then you check it, and have people been really close?
They're right on.
Oh, that's
every
great.
Time they're right on. Sometimes they've also answered a lot of yeses to colors that they've added in their outer bands, but they consistently show up the highest one or two categories are their aura colors.
So let's come back and just do, can we do 14 colors real easily, or is that going to take a lot of time?
That's going to take a lot of time, Bruce.
Then let's not do a lot of All right. Well, what can we do? Should we stick with one color?
Sure. Let's do this one. This one's real obvious. This one's real clear.
Right.
A few of the statements in the book would be, I'm incredibly emotional. I tend to cry at the drop of a hat. That's a yes, no, or sometimes. People tend to turn to me with their problems, and I always seem to be helping everyone with their problems. I console them. I counsel them a lot. Three, money's not that important to me. I believe priority should be about love, relationships, family. Four, spirituality is incredibly important to me. I believe that there is a God without a question of a doubt. It's questions like this. And if somebody...
Let me guess, blue.
Yeah, you got it. That's a blue to a T.
That's not too bad, you know, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Tans
and
will not
folks,
answer.
I don't have the book in front of me right now either. That's, you know, of course, this is because I listened to you before and we've done another show. But still, that shows that anyone can really get this stuff down.
Absolutely. And they can even go through it and answer questions that they know that their loved ones would answer. Go, oh, I definitely know my husband is a mental tan and maybe a violet with that too, because violets, it's very obvious when you answer the questions in the violet. Violets love being the center of attention. They can get scattered. They love to travel. They have the sense that they've got something very powerful and purposeful to say on the planet. So all the questions lead up to that. And a yellow will not answer yes to those questions. It's like, no, I don't like being the center of attention. A violet will answer yes to those.
Will a yellow take this test?
Did you?
No. All right.
Okay.
That answers that one. Before we talk about combination colors, why did you write the book? Let's just go right to that, because that was, I think, the first question I asked you when we first started the show. We kind of meandered around. It was real important to kind of like lay some groundwork here. But why did you write the book?
Well, there were quite a few reasons why I finally wrote the book. One, my whole purpose on the planet is really to help people. I love to help people understand themselves better. I happen to be a blue. It's added violet. We came here to be in service.
See, if you were a green, we would know the whole thing was about money.
Well, my main purpose was to help people understand themselves better, to go to a higher level. I also have so many clients that have found out that understanding their own aura colors has helped them so much. They wanted more and more information. They wanted it written so that they didn't have to keep coming back to me. Now, what did you say about this? I started getting so many clients. I mean, my waiting list for people to come see me is so overwhelming now. I started doing workshops, and even then people wanted it in written form. So I've put it in writing to reach more people. That's the main reason. Well, one, to help people, and two, so that people have it in front of them, they can help themselves. It enables me to reach more people.
Let's talk about combination colors. So we get into real life now. Mm-hmm. People are not going to be basically a single color.
Well, it's my experience that people either have one color, they've come in as a one single life color, or they've come in as two life colors, a combination color is what I call them. Single colors are very easy to figure out. If somebody's a combination color, I found out that the reason that they've done that is usually to add a power booster on or more creativity. For example, you came in as a yellow and a violet. A yellow would have been too flaky for you because maybe you wouldn't have gotten enough done. You would have had a great time. You would have been creative. But you've got the violet in there to add a higher purpose. You wanted to help bring...
So I party with a purpose?
Well, usually yellow violets are creative visionaries. Okay, Kenny Loggins is a yellow violet. Sting is a yellow violet. They've got a message to give to the planet, but they do it through some form of creativity. See, a straight violet would be like a political leader or a very charismatic, dynamic person, but they're not having as much fun or their creativity is not as high. Someone with a violet with a yellow has added creativity so that they can get their message out in some way that's not threatening to people. It's more creative. Or they're healers. But again, they've either done it to add a quality to their original purpose for coming to the planet, like creativity, humor, fun, power, or they've added it as a way to balance themselves out. For example, someone that comes in as a green maybe doesn't want to be so powerful and such a workaholic. They wanted the purpose of, they brought in blue into their aura too to make sure that they loved people while they did it. So that they're very powerful, ambitious, they can make money, they can organize things, but they also have a humanitarian purpose there that they don't want to crush people as they're doing it. So there's lots of different reasons
so you
to
wonder,
add
it. For example,
it.
Like Dale Carnegie, would that... Just, I guess you haven't seen Dale Carnegie, but...
Right, well, people like...
From his background, it seems like he might have been a green blue or something like that.
Or a green violet.
Or a green violet.
I find a lot of people like Werner Erhard is a green and a violet, so he can reach the masses, which is what violets do, but he has a very powerful message about take control of your life, which is a green message, you know, organize it, you can make money, you can accomplish anything you want to. So it either is a power booster, so it adds more energy to their original life purpose or creativity, or it's a balancer.
All right, so with combination colors, I guess the purpose then of knowing this is to help a person in four areas. Let's talk about four areas, things that are really important to people. Careers, relationships, money, and health. Why don't we take careers first?
Okay, one of the things that's helpful to know, well, first of all, if somebody has a combination color, a lot of times the two colors aren't always compatible. Mm-hmm. And so a person feels schizophrenic sometimes. One day they want to do this, the other day they want to do this. So understanding that you're a combination color can help you resolve some of that conflict and work them together. And I give tools in the book on how you can put those two personality traits together to work for you.
Well, let's digress for a minute. What should a yellow-violet do?
As far as what, careers?
No, as far as the tool.
As far as getting them together? Well, the problem is, yellow-violets usually can work very well together because they're creative visionaries. Some of the problems with a yellow-violet is violets want to do something very powerful out on the planet and reach the masses, and yellows don't want to work that hard. So the first thing a yellow does go, is that going to be a lot of hard work?
And or so they'll, like
they'll procrastinate.
Dialogue, you know?
Right.
Hey, let's do this, and then, come on, let's just rest.
They'll procrastinate. Plus, violets love being the center of attention, and yellows tend to be a little shy. So a lot of times a yellow doesn't want to do it as big as a violet and they'll hold it back. So in the book, I show ways on how you can get your yellow aspects working with your violet aspects so it's not as threatening. It needs to be fun and creative. If it's fun and creative, the yellow will work with the violet. If it looks like it's going to be hard work or it's too scary, it's too much of a risk, a yellow goes, I don't think so, and it procrastinates. So that's one idea. One of the most inner conflicting combinations potentially is a yellow-green. Because greens are the workaholics on the planet and yellows came here to play. They want to have a good time. So that one shows how you can put those two together. They're very creative and intelligent if they work on a project the same direction.
So is this the kind of person who invents a toy that makes a lot of money?
Absolutely. They're inventors. They are very creative people and they can make a lot of money doing that.
I love it.
Yeah, actually, I just read a book by a yellow-green, and he had started out being very green and then he pulled his creativity and then added some violet into it that was... Oh, boy. You'll see it when you believe it. I can't remember his name right now, and I just bought the book. Anyway, they're very creative writers, too, because the greens want to, you know, write something very powerful and get people, in, you know, motivated and inspired to make money, and yellows want to be creative. So they're great writers, inventors.
So as far as careers are concerned, once a person has chosen a career and they learn a little bit about their colors, they may even decide that the career was not right, or they may be able to figure out how to better move that career forward by knowing how to work within their own what, parameters?
Their own talents and their skills, their natural skills and talents. I quite frequently find that people are unhappy in their careers because they're not doing what their natural aura color wants to do. I find, for example, a lot of violets who need to be either in the media or doing psychology and teaching or being in politics, being things like bookkeepers and accountants, which is detailed. Those are for the tans, and they feel limited and they're unhappy.
So a violet bookkeeper is definitely in the wrong place.
I would because they're usually unhappy. That's way beneath. It's not their potential. It's not their natural skills.
And a tan visionary, right?
Yeah. Tans want to take care of the details, and violets don't want to do the details. So forcing a violet to take care of details every day will make them sick, unhappy, depressed. They're not fulfilled. So if a person can finally identify that, wow, I'm a violet, this is what I want to do, and gee, I thought everybody wanted to go out and save the planet. No, not everybody wants to do that. Violets are the ones that feel drawn to do that. So it gives them permission to get into a career or a vocation that's really fulfilling for them. And then all of us are alive and we're happy. We're doing our right careers. Every color has their in-power qualities where they're living their full potential. And every color has out of power characteristics, and none of the colors are that much fun to be around when they're out of power. So
right,
again, I give tools.
We're going to talk about power. Let's talk about, we've got careers. How about relationships? How can knowing, well, how about a family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A family, the father's a green. I'm going to make one up. The father's a green. The mother's a blue. This is stunning, right? Okay. And
the son
is a yellow and the daughter is a violet.
Uh-huh.
What have we got?
Well, knowing what each color's mean really helps the family get along better, because the green father will want to be controlling and domineering and want to make all the rest of the family make money and let's get on with it and let's strive, let's get an education.
Okay,
let's...
now there's a conflict going to start right now between the green father, let's say, and the yellow son.
Right.
Because the yellow son wants to play and have fun.
Yeah, the yellow son wants to go out and go surfing all day long, and the green father gets very frustrated at that. But once the green father...
Course, not to interrupt, but the son feels what?
Inadequate, unhappy,
okay.
Feels, and yellows are very sensitive, so they take that personally. They think they're not enough then. And the green father thinks he's doing what's best here because he wants his son to make money and be ambitious
like
and make something of himself.
And the blue mother is in the middle.
And the blue mother
loving both of them.
Wants her relationship with her husband to work out, and she's all emotional, and the green father doesn't understand that because they're not emotional. And then the blue mother feels bad for the yellow son. So,
and the violet daughter?
The violet daughter usually is like, oh, you guys get a clue. Usually violets can see the bigger picture, but also they can't be limited.
Interesting.
They can't be limited either. The out of power. Now, we're talking all the out of power stuff here, not understanding each other.
Okay, but I think that's a good point, because I think what I'm trying to portray here is that this in itself is almost a new psychology.
Right, right.
If this family had taken this test,
right,
we would know immediately... We would have an overview very quickly.
Right, because if the green father can understand that he's got a yellow son, he won't push him into becoming an entrepreneur or a banker or do real estate, because yellows don't like doing those things. They're more creative. They either go into physical work or healing work or creative work. So if the father understands that, instead of trying to force him into a hole that doesn't work, he can encourage him to explore his own creative talents.
So in power now, we're talking in power.
Right.
The green father understands that he's a worker.
Right.
That money's important. He also understands that his wife needs nourishment.
And emotional support.
He understands that the son likes to party, and he understands that the daughter sees the whole picture, and he should just be careful what he says around her.
No. He needs to know that violets can't be limited. Violets have a big thing about freedom. They can't be put in a box or told to stick to rules.
So when she wants to go out on a date and stay out till 1 a.m, he should be smart enough to realize that if he says no, she'll come home at 5.
Making some great scenarios. Anything we need to know about your family first?
No, I don't have that type. I have a completely different one. Well, you know that I'm not a green, so we can count me out right away.
That's right. Well, but it does help the family dynamics, relationships in general. I mean, couples can understand each other better. And for example, I see a lot of blue-yellow combinations where it's a blue wife and a yellow husband. Yellows need time alone. They need to go off and play. And blues take that very personally. They start feeling that they're not loved.
Mm.
And it's not that the yellow doesn't love her. He just needs some free time. They're both very sensitive. So to understand what's important to each of the personalities, you can start working with that. It's like, okay, now I get it. This is what's important to a blue. She needs to know that she's loved and appreciated, and tell her that you love her once in a while. So you're not being manipulated. That's really what's important to her.
Okay, now how about money? People are always concerned about money. We know about these colors.
Yeah, I speak in the book about money and which colors handle money the best, which colors have trouble with money.
I can guess already. Does a yellow have trouble with money?
Yellows have a lot of trouble with money. They get money and it literally disintegrates in their
like
hands.
I had a complete reading in front of the entire audience out there.
Well, what happens with yellows, though, in the book I show how yellows can start dealing with money so that they don't lose it. Because yellows tend to play with money. They're irresponsible. It goes out for toys. It goes out for having a good time. So if they've got another aura color with them, they can, so to speak, turn it over to that aura color. For example, if you're going to deal with money, Bruce, I would recommend you start becoming violet with your money and get a bigger picture, or hire a tan, or turn it over to a green.
Hire a tan. Look, I've got the whole thing worked out.
Right. Or be more creative with it. Or yellows, if they're more, anything a yellow can feel in their hands, they can manifest. So if you get what money feels like in your hands, large sums of money, you'll start creating large sums of money because they're more tangible.
Mm-hmm.
So I give.
So you borrow $13,000 or $14,000, put it in $1 bills, carry it around in your hands for a while, then give it back, and then you should be able to.
Absolutely. You get used to what it feels like. Absolutely. And with a violet, anything a violet can visualize, if a violet can see it in their mind's eye, a violet can start manifesting it. So I give positive tools. I don't say, well, sorry, you're yellow, you'll never have money, because that's not it. But I give you lots of different tools on how you can start manifesting money in your life.
Now, how about health?
I also touch on health in the book. I point out the health problems, the areas that are the weak spots for most of the colors, and how you can stay in power so you don't have health problems. For example, since we're picking on your yellow here, a yellow's weak spot are their backs and their knees. So if a yellow's out of power, they'll start having backaches, or they'll injure their knees. They'll do sports injuries. They'll run into things. That's your first signal that your yellow's out of power. So then you follow the techniques in the book on how to stay in power.
Well, now that we know that I'm going to run into something, could you tell me how not to?
Well, for a yellow, there's three things for a yellow to stay in power, for example. First of all is physical activity. Yellows have to exercise to stay in power. It's imperative for them. Mm-hmm. Long muscle activity.
Must be obvious to you that I exercise a lot. This is a joke for those of you who don't know me, and I'm not going to clue you in on this either. Go ahead.
So for a yellow, physical exercise is top on the list. Second of all is stay away from negative addictions, because yellows are very addictive. So if they get into drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, coffee, caffeine, chocolate, sweets, or overeating, they're out of power. If you can start staying away from those and do the positive addictions of exercise, your yellow will stay healthy and your back won't hurt anymore, your legs won't hurt anymore. Then the third one is a sense of humor. If a yellow can keep a sense of humor, it helps them stay in power. They can get through anything with a sense of humor. So those are the three ways for the yellow to stay in power.
I've been wrung out today as a yellow. Pamela Osley, O-S-L-I-E. And Pam, I'm just very, very happy that you came on the show today. Anything you want to wrap up? Get about a minute.
Well, I just hope that when people buy this book, they can really read it and get a better grasp of themselves. There's a lot of tools in there on how to fulfill your life, how to make yourself happy, how to have fulfilling relationships, the careers that are going to fulfill you the most, everything, family, sex, relationships, everything's in this book. So I'm hoping that this really reaches a lot of people and helps us get along
better. Let's
tell
people how big this book is.
Everything's in it. It's a good-sized book. It's a wealth of information.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show, Pam.
Thank you, Bruce.
All right. Now, I'd like to thank all of you for tuning into The Timeless Voyager. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, and I hope that your own personal voyage through life towards the development of your highest potential is a joyous and successful one.